Hey, Nick, thanks for listening to our new podcast episode, and anyone else, maybe Jeff also. We have an audience of about four or five. Actually, it's more than that. But anyway, Josh has been super busy lately and feels terribly guilty about that. So I've subbed in another friend to catch up with, and you can hear two other guys talk for an hour. So welcome, Mike.
That's me.
Do you want to give a little backstory, like how you know us and what you're all about?
Yeah, sure. So I've known Rob and Josh and Nick, I guess, for 10 plus years. We all met in college. I think the story that Josh gave is very, very similar to the one that I will give, but we all joined this Apple Club together and then became fast friends somehow. And some part of it is also involved with, you know, drinking too much whiskey and staying up late and broadcasting ourselves on the internet using Ustream.tv back when that was the only place to watch streaming video.
And
which, you know, when I think about it, it's actually funny. Does that site still exist? Because I feel like Twitch totally fucking destroyed... Sorry, I'm going to swear a lot. That's what I do. I feel like Twitch totally destroyed the market. Like, they took over what Ustream was back in the day. You know, like I remember when Vine came out, like, I remember that site already existed. It was called 12seconds.tv, and I used to use that all the time. where you could make videos that were up to 12 seconds long, and then you post them, and then you could go to the website, and you could scroll through. Like, to this day, I still follow one of the developers of that site on Twitter and Foursquare.
Wow,
like,
I don't remember.
It was a very small. That I'm just saying, like, 12seconds.tv was the original Vine, and then they shut down. And I swear, like, 4 years later, Vine came out. Mm. Right, it was out of nowhere. But that's anyway. So the story that I can pretty much say is, you know, I've known Nick and Rob and Josh for forever, and we know each other from college, and we've been like friends for on and off for like 10 years, because there was like that period of Rob was in. You were in Spain, and then, like, none of us talked, even though Nick and I lived in the same city, and, like, I don't know. It was, like, a whole weird thing. Because I lived
like
with Josh.
It's like a post-college gap.
Strangely. Yeah, there's, like, a whole, like, if you map the four of us together as to when we were all still talking, there's, like, these weird gaps between all of us. Because, like, I was literally living with Josh and hanging out with Josh regularly because he was constantly driving from Holland to Grand Rapids. And then for some reason, Allendale, where I lived at the time, that ended up being like a halfway spot, because he then started dating Vanessa, who lived in Holland, but he was working in Grand Rapids, and it was a whole weird thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's the weird long story. I mean, there's pieces and parts that I could probably go into further, but that's kind
yeah,
of it.
And
I guess.
Yeah, I have similar things with other friends. Like, I have this friend Chris, who I was friends with since elementary school. Just like our mutual mm-hmm. friend Nick. And, oh no, actually, I made that up. Chris didn't go to my elementary school, but we met in sixth grade, so in middle school. But we're like okay. in the same hometown, just different school districts and all that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So we knew each other forever. But he went to University of Michigan, and we were at Grand Valley. So I don't really know a specific reason. It's just sort of like, our friendship was the sort where we were always in class together, and maybe we would meet up after school, but we just didn't keep in touch as soon as we went to college.
Isn't it kind of strange how where you get placed in elementary school or maybe middle school, like as far as classes go, kind of determines the future friendships that you have? Isn't there's like this gigantic web that if you think about it, like, if you went to an elementary school like I did that had like 3 second grade classes, yeah. right? And 3 third grade classes and fourth and fifth and sixth. Like, what classes you got placed in could dramatically change how your entire elementary school experience would be.
Yeah.
Right? Like, imagine, you know, it's, you know, Nick, since, you know, you guys are in elementary school. Imagine if you guys weren't placed in the same class. Do you think that you would have ever been friends?
I mean,
do you think in third grade you would have met each other, or whatever grade you guys met? Do you think the next year, even if you were placed in the same class, would you have been friends? And that's funny, the weird like butterfly effect thing, you know?
even a more obscure example of that is, I don't think Nick and I were in the same class. I'm trying to remember if we were ever in the same classroom. We might have been 1 year.
Were you guys just recess buddies?
So I was best friends with this kid in second grade. Jason mm-hmm. and we would play at recess, and Jason was also best friends, because apparently everyone can be duplicitous and have multiple best friends with Nick. And then after second grade he moved, and you know, then recess I just kind of like stumble out there, and I'm just like, oh well, where's my I don't know what to do now. And then I was like, oh well mm-hmm. yeah, there's Nick. And I was like, oh hey, yeah, your best friend also moved.
I mean, I would have preferred Jason, but I guess you'll
settle. You know all the Power Rangers, right? We can do this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear how Nick met Jason, because I think Jason was in my class. I don't know how any of this happened. But anyway, yeah, like you said, butterfly effect. It's crazy. But back to the Chris story, we just totally disconnected after high school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know like what he was studying in college. And then I graduated, went to Spain, came back to Michigan, and then eventually came to New York. And it wasn't until I had already moved to New York, I think, that I saw Facebook or somehow or another, Chris lives there. And it's like, holy shit, you already live here? I didn't know that. And so I was new to the city, and he was the only other person that I was like good friends with. I had a couple people that I knew in Brooklyn, but anyway, we pretty much hung out like every day, at least every weekend, and became good friends since that. Just, you know, immediately picked it back up.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I think that was kind of what happened between me and you and Nick, right? And Josh, like the four of us had maybe talked on and off individually, but the four of us together hadn't really talked. And it was like, we all went to Nick's wedding and it like rekindled the friendship. I don't know what it was. We like started group messaging or something, and then we all moved to Telegram, or I don't remember why. Maybe we started the Slack first. I can't remember.
Yeah. I had been kind of musing about that, the whole group chat phenomena, and how I do remember, I don't remember when it started, but I think it started with either a text group or a Telegram group, because I know Slack definitely came after Telegram, but I'm pretty sure it did. I don't know. And I just remember just the fact of like having that like little window open at work, and just, you know, Nick is in Michigan and Josh is in California, and you were in Michigan for a while, and then you came out here, and all just like signing on and just checking up, like, hey, what's going on today? And just the daily, even though it's might be like mundane type of conversation, it's more like the frequency of a conversation that brought us closer again. It's not like we're particularly having a deep conversation where it gets really meaningful, but sometimes that happens. But it's just like the regular checking in daily. I was thinking about that because it seems like lately the group chat thing is fading away. Like we still have the group chat, but it just doesn't seem that active. Or maybe it's one of those like an introspective bias where I feel like sometimes I'll like put two or three things in the chat and then no one really says anything, and it starts to feel a little bit more quiet lately. And I just wonder if that's, you know, if it's just people are busier. Nick has two kids now, so.
Well, what's weird is it's interesting because I think the way that I look at the two groups is like we had the Telegram chat, and I think the Slack group definitely came first. And the only reason I say that is because it originally was the Destroy the Cyborg Slack that I was using. And then you were like, hey, do you guys use Slack? And I was like, well, I already have a group. Why don't we just create a secret group inside of the existing one that I had? And so rather than starting a whole new Slack. Anyways, but I think the Slack group is more like, let's chat during the day while during working hours. And the Telegram chat is like anything that is not going to be during work hours. So like anything after, like 5 or 6 p.m. beyond, and then during the weekends. Because I never, like for me, I never open the Slack unless I'm at work.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Slack just doesn't, I don't have it. I have it on my computer, but I just never keep it open.
I will if I get pinged.
Like I have a Discord.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't really check it unless I'm at work.
Yeah, and I mean, you ping me sometimes, and that's like when I'll open it on my phone. But I rarely check it when I'm not there, and that's why I wish that we would just use Telegram all the time, because I think Slack is, I don't use Slack enough to find it useful, but I know that you're in multiple Slacks, and I know Nick's in multiple Slacks, so I'm fine using it. But like, I also use Discord. I like Discord a lot for its like very granular control, but it doesn't have all the like quote unquote business stuff that I know some people prefer that Slack
does. So I have,
because this,
I'd like to hear more. I have Discord, like I have it installed and I have a username. I joined a couple of things. So my entry point to Discord was you mentioning it and me seeing it advertised on Reddit. And so I joined like this anime Reddit group on Discord and some PlayStation group, and I was kind of excited at first because I was imagining, okay, it'd be like Slack and you just hop in there on the day to day and talk about like, you know, I don't know what video game you're playing or whatever. But then I joined, and of course, since it's Reddit, there's like 2,000 people there, and it's like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know anybody there. They're all talking about some obscure anime shit I don't know about, or people talking about these like Call of Duty video games that I don't care for. And so I didn't ever connect or feel a part of like a friend group there, and it just quickly became noise, and I no longer use Discord. Whereas with Slack and Telegram, it started out with people that I knew. Either it started out with coworkers in my office or when we joined our friend group. So I use those services because I know like that's where my friends are. And maybe I did it wrong, but with Discord, it was just like plugging a chat onto the internet, and I was quickly overwhelmed, and I was like, I don't know how to talk to anyone.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest problem, I think, with Discord is that it's there as like the old style chat rooms in some cases.
Yahoo groups.
Right? Like old, like, yeah, or AOL chat groups and stuff where you just kind of jump into a public forum and it's live streaming and it's constantly running and there's no off switch. That can be super overwhelming. And there are like a hint, like I'm a part of 5 or 6 different Discords and I only check maybe 2 of them regularly. And so I only check the 2 of them regularly, and it's even then it's a lot. I usually catch up, or I'll just mark all as read and not really care about the context. Like unless someone pinged me, I don't really care about what people are talking about. Like in the past, it's just there to like check if you have nothing else to do. It's kind of just like a place to have a conversation with randos. But I totally agree. It doesn't feel like Slack, and it feels less personal. It's like a live stream chat, but without the streaming.
So
you know,
yeah, that's interesting. But you're saying that you think you like it more than Slack. So what aspects of it do you like?
I like the features that it has more. I like the granular control that you get as a mod. Like if say we wanted to open up our group chat to say another like 10 people. Like there would be a lot more control. We could have separate rooms. It's very similar to Slack, but I do like the integrations that aren't necessarily work oriented, like linking my Spotify so you guys can see what kind of music I'm listening to.
Oh, that's very cool.
Or linking my Twitter or linking my Twitch and you guys can see what games I'm playing, right? You get all that kind of stuff from a Discord. Now, Discord would then, I think, in a lot of ways replace our Telegram chat. But I don't want to do that because I love Telegram. I want to just move everyone and everything to Telegram because it's just so fucking handy. It's way better than WhatsApp and it feels more like fine-tuned than a lot of other messaging services.
My parents use WhatsApp.
Alternative.
I feel that's the only reason I'm on WhatsApp because there's this whole thing that it's so hard to... I love my parents, and they're probably not listening, but it is so hard to communicate certain things to my parents because they live in Mexico, they all have iPhones, and my mom, this is like a couple years ago when they first moved there, she messages me on WhatsApp. She's like, hey, we're using WhatsApp, blah, blah, blah. You guys can text us as much as you want here because it's not using our cell phone plan or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mom, you can just use your regular iPhone text messaging app as long as it's blue. It's going through it's not like
it's
charging
the same
you
thing,
in
yeah.
SMS and the blue versus the green, like she doesn't get that, and so she's on WhatsApp. And then she also started this Facebook Messenger group. So WhatsApp is talk with her, my dad, and me and Mary, and then she set up this other one of like the Brogan family, which is the 4 of us plus my brother and sister-in-law.
And
it's just kind of funny because from my techno snob point of view, it's like you go from WhatsApp to Facebook Messenger. You're like, you're getting further away from what I want. Just get on Telegram.
Yeah, same.
But oh my gosh, it would be such an uphill battle if I tried to tell my parents about Telegram. But on the other hand, Mary got her mom and her uncle on Telegram now. So we have like a family group on Telegram with my wife's side of the family, and that's great.
Yeah, I find that it's not hard to convince people. Once you show them one or two little features, they'll go, oh, this is way better than...
Yeah, just show them the GIFs.
Messenger or whatever. Like, a handful of my friends some people that I know in New York that, like, Kelly met through her whole exchange thing. So for those who don't know, my fiance, when she first moved to the city, she didn't know anybody, and she didn't have she didn't have any friends, or she didn't really know anybody, and so she didn't have a job. So she found this random woman on Reddit posted saying, "Hey, I'm going to meet up for drinks. Does anybody want
in?"
And so they like ended up talking, and she ended up getting in like this big group chat using a different messaging service called Line, which is apparently very popular in China and Korea,
like an Asian thing.
Yeah, so she joined that, and so that she met a handful of women, and she's still pretty good friends with two of them. And so one of the women, she was married to this guy named Tom, who is English, and so I met him, and he introduced us to a couple of friends. So we had this group message on Facebook Messenger. That's like the what I'm going with, the friends that I know that aren't you. So sorry, Rob, I have other friends that aren't you in New York. And so we had this thing, and I was like, you guys, Messenger is awful. None of us ever actively want to be on Facebook, so why are we using Facebook Messenger?
It's like, we don't want to do this, but it's the universal thing.
Well, the thing was, we were using a group text message, but then we ran into that problem where one person had an Android, and we were all bitching about it.
So, I don't want to see your green shit.
Exactly. And so we were like, well, let's use Facebook Messenger, and then we all were like, shit, none of us have checked this group in a while, and somebody was asking a very time-sensitive question and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, well, let's just all move to Telegram. It's better than WhatsApp, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, good, something that's not owned by Facebook. Let's do it. So and all but one person have gotten on it, but it works so far. I'm slowly convincing everybody. Like, all of my friends back in Michigan are all on Telegram.
Oh, yeah.
And they're getting more and more people on Telegram.
I think the like challenge is I'm excited about it for different reasons. So I would tell somebody like, oh yeah, so it's like this totally independently funded. It's not, you know, owing to any company, and they've rolled their own encryption, and it's different than everything. So it's super secure, and all this stuff. And they're just like, oh, that sounds like complicated techno stuff. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh, but it has GIFs. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. Stickers and GIFs are the thing that usually convince people. And the other half of it is like, people are like, well, I don't want something that's going to be slow. And I'm like, this thing is the most lightweight, and you can use it on your Mac or PC or Linux or any kind of thing. And if you need to, you can log in on the web. Like, it's like WhatsApp, but better because of these 10 reasons that I can give people that are like practical.
Right. And has the added bonus of not being owned by Facebook.
And it has the added bonus that, So it's, I don't know, it's not a hard sell for people, but I think that also some people are like, we don't want to install another app on my phone. And I'm like, then delete Facebook and install this, right? Like, delete the Messenger app and install this and can tell everyone they have to switch over, because it's, I don't know, it's so much better. It's so much nicer. This is the big selling point for me. This is why I don't like Discord that much. I like the notification style of Telegram, where it's kind of like going to alert you everywhere when you get a message, unless you turn off notifications. Mm-hmm. But I like being able to have it on my phone and on my desktop and have it be more or less the exact same experience.
Discord isn't?
Whereas like the Discord, it is, but Discord is, I think, a bit more cumbersome, right? Like I'm not going to turn on, you could turn on notifications for all chats. I don't know. It feels just like, it's a little bit bloated because of all the different integrations that it has. And Slack is kind of the same way. Like, I don't know. I think I would be annoyed by Slack because I couldn't.
So like Discord sounds like it's like a Cadillac of product features, and that's better on a desktop where you have a lot of room to show like the Spotify and the video games that's going on. Whereas Telegram is just a linear stream of text. You can have images and stuff, but it's always going to be in the same panel. So you can do that on a phone or a desktop.
Yeah, I guess that is one of the draws for me, is that the layout and the interface are not overcomplicated, right? Like, I have my groups, and then inside those groups are the people that are talking, and that's it. Because I don't need to know. Like, it's like the integrations that Discord has are really nice on desktop. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a perfect desktop app. I don't think it's a good mobile app. Right. Same with Slack. I think Slack works really well on the desktop, but I don't think it works well on mobile.
I would argue that it works equally well on mobile, but it really depends. I think I don't really use any integrations in Slack. When I first started out, I was excited about it. Like, oh, you can sync your Dropbox and your Google Drive and all that kind of stuff. But I don't really use that. And at work, it's just basically it's plain text or you're dragging in a screenshot. And I mean, the only thing is that I'm faster on the desktop. So if there's like a work discussion, I much prefer to be on the desktop. I can dive in. I can drag and drop pictures in there and stuff about like, you know, this design versus this design. But on the phone, I feel like it's the same. It's just a single a chat, you know. There are a few groups that I guess could be overwhelming based on the number of channels that are active. So that could be a little hard to keep up with on the phone because you have to like swipe and view the little side panel of what's new and which channel. But anyway, I'd like to take a brief pause for an advertisement. At our podcast, we have a Telegram group, which is set up to be open to anyone. Anyone can just drop in and creep on us. What's his name recently came in? Johannes, I think. So hello to Johannes. I don't know if you are a Nigerian spam account or what, but came in, said hello, and didn't say anything to us after that. So just the type of interaction we're looking for from our fans. To find that, you can, I think it's STGBot. If you want to search on Telegram, but honestly, it's probably a lot easier if you just go to joshandrob.com and then click on the About section of our page. So you can read the little blurbs about me, about Josh, and I believe there's a link and some info about the Telegram group. So if you're interested in trying out Telegram and you don't have any friends, we can be your first friends. Just drop into that little public group and say hello. That's her little ad segment.
I like that. I it's funny you guys do this and I don't, you know, I'm part of that group and stuff, but I've been considering this for my other show, right? So for I Read Comic Books, somebody recently pinged me on Twitter and was like, you guys need a Discord. And I've heard other people say, hey, you need a Discord. It's actually very common for, I guess it's very common, right?
Yeah.
I say in quotes, for podcasts to have a Discord or some sort of group chat.
Probably depends on the genre of podcasts, but like I think yours, the D&D podcasts, that sounds like the type of thing that would have a Discord.
Right, right. And I think that's what a lot of people, I know that for a little while, some folks like Jeff Perry, he had a Slack for a little bit for his website, and I think he was also, when he was doing a podcast, it was also being used for that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, but still, yeah, it does feel like Discord is definitely like what we should use, but I'm concerned because I'm not on Discord all the time, and I would feel bad if it was just like, hey, come join the I Read Comic Books Discord and then never be on it. Whereas if I could convince people to join Telegram, then I've already got the whole I Read Comic Books crew on Telegram and tell them, hey, this is our public chat if for people that want to interact with us. But that's like a whole other thing because I already asked those guys to do so much that I'm like, okay, now do one more thing for me that's free and it's going to tax you and be exhausting and yada, yada, yada. Whereas like maybe I should just open up the Telegram, make a Telegram group and just be like, hey, come join it. You can talk to Mike.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you can't.
my thinking was, you know, back when we were talking about Ustream, we used to like, when we podcasted in college, we would do a simulcast, like Ustream live as we're recording.
Oh my God, I missed that.
I don't even know if YouTube had live, but this is before live YouTube, I think. And then we paired that with TalkShoe. So you could be streaming our podcast because you can't wait for it to come out. A few college kids talking about an iPhone app they think is cool. Which, holy shit, we're doing that right now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And so, anyway, TalkShoe, I don't know if it's still around, is like a chat group where people could do audio and they could call in. So my perspective at the time was I wanted like a radio show where you're just like a DJ and then people can call in and have comments and then...
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that so much.
And then you can cut them off and then we can talk about that. We got a couple of people to actually call in. I think our show got up to maybe like 150 or 200 listeners, and that felt pretty cool back then. Now, of course, I don't expect anyone to listen to this garbage, but if you are listening and you want to like say something or give us, I don't know, something to talk about next time, then I just threw up, you know, Telegram, because that's what I already have. I'm not going to, like, create a Discord, because that seems to be the more fitting platform. It's more of just like, yeah, I'll just do the smallest step possible. Like, okay, here, I'm already here. If you want to come chat with us, you can come here. If not, then that's fine. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, because I really like that mentality. Rob, this is my favorite thing about being friends with you. I will just say, like, and I mean this, like, I'm trying to be as genuine as possible when I say, like, and not insult you, but, like, there is a laziness to you that is not bad. Like, people, because, like you just said, like, you don't want to try that hard, you don't want to invest in this other thing. I don't think that there's any shame in that, because I think initially when you hear that, it's like, well, he just doesn't want to do that. But I'm like, no, man, fuck the haters. That's the way to do it. Just say, I'm already here. If you want to talk to me, you come to me. Yeah. And, like, I call it laziness. I don't think that's what it is, but it is so just, well, this is a thing that you do, and it's something that I just respect the hell out of you for, because you're kind of just like, fuck everybody else. I don't need to try hard. I'm already doing a lot of cool shit right over here. You come to my corner. Like, I really like that. I'm the complete opposite, where I'm just like, you guys want a Discord? Yeah, I'll start a Discord just for you, and I'll work my ass off for it for all two of you. Like, yeah. I just want to say that.
Thanks. I mean, that's an interesting way to encapsulate it, because I haven't thought about myself like that, but
yeah. And I don't mean it as an insult. I genuinely respect it. Okay.
I'm definitely coming into this a lot more in my adulthood. It was there a little bit in college. It was definitely there in college, but, like, mm-hmm. It's sort of, I have a way of viewing something, but I combine that with being very open about it. So, like, mm-hmm. I remember in college, and, you know, maybe my memory is faded by now, but I remember we took this one class on Chinese philosophy, Nick and I, and I loved that class. It was super interesting, and I would sit mm-hmm. there and pay, you know, rapt attention and jot down some notes as the lecture was going on. And we had this big-ass book of, like, Confucian texts and Lao Tzu and all this, like, old Chinese philosophy mm-hmm. to read. I read some of it, I guess, but point is, I never really did my homework, and Nick read all of it, and I remember, I mean, maybe he got a better grade overall, but I remember there's this one test where, like, I got, like, a B+, and he got, like, a B-, and all I did was show up and listen.
Oh, no.
And so that's, like, an example of, like, my laziness, but the thing is, I realized the way I, like, view the world, I guess, is I figure out, like, what is good enough, and just be happy with that. Like, sure, I could try really hard. I could bust my balls and read mm-hmm. that really old, dense philosophy text and maybe get an A or an A+ in the class. But I go in there and I'm like, well, if I get a B+, that, you know, that looks pretty good. And also, for context, I'm getting, like, a Spanish degree, so, like, there's no, like, incentive to, like, graduate magna cum laude with Spanish. It's just, like, you either know it or you don't. Then when I, in my professional career, I, you know, transitioned at some point to being a UX designer, and a lot of design, actually, I saw someone tweet this morning, she's like a director of some design company. She's like, in my 20 years of design, mm-hmm. I've definitely found it true that 75% of the job is communicating the design. So it's like, you could have a perfect design and you just, like, slide it over the table to the developer, and it may not always, or the stakeholder or whatever, who's paying you to do it. And it may mm-hmm. not become the best thing, because people, like, misinterpret it, or they don't apply it correctly. So it's really important to get the support by communicating it. Anyway, all of this to say that this is another circumstance where I have found that I'm pretty good at talking. And a lot of other designers mm-hmm. make these, like, elaborate PDFs or keynote presentations. And these, you know, they have, like, the sketches and then the wireframes and then, like, the annotated prototypes. And
yes.
I'm such a lazy asshole that I just, I mock up the screen. I'm like, you want a fucking checkbox over here? Here's your fucking checkbox or whatever. And the the work at Amazon is very incremental. So I always use the example of like just a checkbox here. But like I'll design the screen and then I'm done. Like I'll you know, maybe like have a page beforehand that explains like, here's the goal of the project, here's what we're trying to do. But I just don't put that much effort into all the ancillary stuff, because if someone has a question, they can ask me. Or if we're in a meeting and I'm presenting the design, I'll just put the design on the screen and I'll talk for half an hour. I just don't like to spend time on the heavy documentation. And sometimes when people ask me, you know, like, oh yeah, can you just add a few slides that, you know, like talk about this, or, you know, annotate all these little like possible user cases. And I'll just be very upfront and I'll just be like, eh, I don't really see the value in doing that.
and so I just don't.
If my employer happens to be listening, please don't fire me. But on the other hand, I feel like in American culture, and I'm an American too, so it's not like I'm talking externally, but I just feel like America versus some other places, you know, like Europeans, the whole like work to live, live to work type of mentality. Mm-hmm. I feel like somehow I have adopted this like just working to live philosophy, where like I'm just, you know, I'm going to a job to pay the bills or whatever. And a lot of people, they just try so much harder. And I respect that if that's something that you're passionate about, or if it leads to a lot of great results. But I have kind of found this nice middle ground of like just doing the amount of stuff that I want to do that still gets it done. And so that's my lazy philosophy.
It's that idea of like, you shouldn't kill yourself for your job, because at the end of the day, you're just dead, right? Like you're not going to, there is merit in doing a good job. And again, there is like a level that you would say, this is a good job versus this is not a good job. So it's kind of like maximizing your thing. And you can definitely go above that line. And if you feel really passionate about something, like you said, you definitely should. But yeah, I feel the same way. I work with guys that come in at 9:30 and leave at 7. And I'm like,
it's like that final 10%.
Why are you doing that?
You work so hard just to go from like a B+ to an A+, and I'm just like, well, but does that A+ really matter?
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's really like weird, because I get wanting to work hard, but I did that when I first started at Amazon, and I feel like it didn't merit me anything.
Exactly.
Right. So now I work my 10 to 6, and that's what I'm gonna work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Period. I don't think that I'm going to get any more work done by working earlier or later.
I'll work my 10:30 to 4:30, and that's it.
I don't know. That's the thing. Like I think we've also had this conversation with Nick before, right? Where Nick's got a very strict schedule, because dude wants to get home to his kids, like, and that's 100% understandable. Mm-hmm. He wants to basically say, I'm done at 5 o'clock, and that way by the time I get home, it's 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and I can spend the few remaining hours in the day that my kids are awake with them.
Yeah,
you know, and that's super, super understandable. You and I obviously aren't in that position.
We have video games
I need to get home. Yeah. But I think that the idea still applies. Nick is not going to earn extra money on top of his salary by staying late. And the only thing that it's going to hurt, he's not going to get any benefit out of it, because he's just going to be losing time with his kids, right? Whereas with us, I think it's like a mental health thing to say, like, if we work later, sure, maybe we'll get a little bit more done, but on the whole, it's not going to gain anything. I don't know. I just like, this is applicable to all people. I don't think this is just
boundaries.
Us or just Nick. I think it's...
Create healthy boundaries.
Exactly. It's that too.
It's funny. I talked about this with my Lyft driver the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was an interesting guy. He had like 2 master's degrees, and he was on his way to a job interview as he was driving me. Typically, I prefer, just like a barber or anything, I prefer to not talk while I'm there. I just like want to listen to a podcast or something. But sometimes you can't help it.
Yep.
And anyway, this guy, he like came from finance, and he's going into this record label job. And so we were talking about...
Is he a younger guy or older guy?
He was 30. And he has 1 degree in business and another one in worship music, like gospel music. And
can get a degree in that?
Like a master's degree in that. I mean, I guess there's like a lot of history okay. and stuff to, you know, learn about the origins and all
that. True.
But anyway, so that's like his field. And he was just talking about how, you know, in finance, they have that culture of like working late, sometimes working on the weekend. I told him about my friend Chris, who he's in finance, and, you know, he'll be over at my place even on vacation, like New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. So New Year's Eve, I think it was on a Sunday or something like that. Point is, he was getting an email from his work group about like, oh, can you jump on and make an edit to this slide? Not only was it a Sunday night, right, which should be out of the question anyway, but it was also like we were getting ready to go out to our New Year's Eve party and we're getting dressed and shit. And he was like, fuck these guys. That's so inconsiderate. And anyway, I remember I had this, one of my first jobs was working with, hold on a second. My radiator.
So you were saying you started working at 1X Run.
So yeah, I was working at 1X Run, which is this art website. And basically the point is I had a lot of hats. I was social media. I was just starting out with design and doing these other things. And there again, there's only like three of us. I'm also emailing artists to get them to sell their work on our website. And I'm also kind of like... not really an admin of sorts. That was the developer's job, but I handled the content. Like, you know, if you have a new piece of art, I would type out the description and the price and all that stuff into, I forget what the platform was. So anyway, I did all that stuff. And we were like a close, you know, gang, and it was fun, but it was also work. And then on the weekends, I'd get texts or emails, and my boss would be like, hey, the website's down. You know, can you do anything? And I'm like, ask the developer. Or he'd be like, oh, this there's a typo in this artwork description. Can you log in and fix it real quick? And it's the sort of thing where like each request was very small, so no single thing really irritated me. But it got to a point after a year where I was just like, I'm working every day. Like not working hard, but just like I'm available for work 7 days a week. And I didn't really like that. And then fast forward like a year or so later in New York, as I've come to learn, almost everyone in New York has a therapist at some point. So I had a therapist that I saw for like a year, maybe half a year. And she was talking to me about boundaries at work and, you know, in your personal life too. But just setting up, you know, certain boundaries to create a healthy relationship. It doesn't apply to just a girlfriend. It can apply to your boss too. If you don't set those early on in the relationship, then the other person just assumes you are accessible until you say no. So I kind of kept that in mind. And when I got like my second or third job in New York, I just remembered I did not set up my work email on my phone. I didn't set up, you know, any like work chat or anything on my phone or on my computer.
Yeah.
I could bring my laptop home with me if I wanted to, but I just left it in the drawer at the office. And so I just very like when the workday was done, I like cut the cord and I didn't have any attachment to work. If someone sent me an email at 7 p.m., I'm going to read that email when I get to work the next morning. And you shouldn't expect anything more than that. Like, you send it at 7. I'm sorry. I'm not going to read it.
That's too late.
But, you know, you kind of have to set that early on. It'd be kind of weird if you were, like, super available, and then all of a sudden you quit, you know, responding to your boss at those hours. So it's good to do that. For anyone listening, it's good to do that when you start a new job. You can start fresh, just like a new girlfriend or boyfriend. It's a new job, so you can set those boundaries as you want them to be, and you just got to stick to it. Now, obviously, I've kind of bled the edges a little bit when I have Slack on my phone, but that's also because I've been there for a long time, so people at work are also my friends, and if, you know, we have our little private chats where we kind of like complain about certain projects and stuff. So, so I think that's fine. And sometimes I'll have work email on my phone if I'm on like a long trip, or if I'm in Seattle, for example, where, you know, a business trip, and it's easier to just have it on my phone because I'm not at the desk the whole time. But But anyway, the point with that is I kind of set up these boundaries early on, and the Lyft driver was talking about how, you know, he's like, our parents' generation, they don't really understand the pressure. They think like technology has created all these new jobs, and so, you know, it's really great for us, but technology has also made us over accessible. And so you don't just, like, back in the day when you left the office, there was no email. Your boss, I mean, right. Theoretically, if they had your phone number, your boss could have called you at your house, but that would be like an emergency, right? Like, that'd be absurd. Yeah, and it's not like you would have to come into the office to do anything. You didn't have a laptop or a computer. So those were physical boundaries in the past. And now that those physical boundaries are no longer there, we kind of have to set them with our own behavior.
Yeah. It's like a blessing and a curse in a lot of ways, right? Like, it's nice to be able to say, hey, I'm going to work from home, and you're literally not being in the office doesn't affect the work that you can do. But that also means that, you know, something as ephemeral as a text message or a message on HipChat or Slack or whatever you've got could spiral your entire night if you respond to it, right? Like, you could totally lose your whole night, or it could just create this undue, unneeded pressure for you to say, hey, you know, your boss says, hey, I need you to do this thing by tomorrow. You could choose to ignore that message, right? Because if they're messaging you at 8 p.m., you know, after you've already worked your full day, especially on like a Friday or something, you know, that's like unneeded pressure that could totally just mentally screw with you. Even for a moment, that's the kind of stuff that like irks me and just really can like get like worm into my brain, where if I get a message like that at the end of the day or after hours, like my old manager used to do that. And like he's a great guy, but he would do that sometimes, like, because he's working constantly, and I don't know why he does it, but that's how he lives his life.
Yeah. Again, it's the A-plus person. I'm like, why are you trying so hard?
Yeah. And so I get a message from him, and I think it's happened where he messaged me on a Friday night at like 7:30 after I had already left the office and was like, hey, what's the status on this thing? And it's like, dude, I'm already at home, right?
Status is weekend.
It's so bizarre. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't understand that mentality, but like, somehow this gets us back to Discord and Telegram and stuff. But it's about having this stuff on your phone. I don't know. I still feel like Telegram is the easier one to use. I think the thing that you had mentioned this about Slack, or you could be in multiple groups and have to swipe to each of them. I think this is the problem that I have with Telegram and Discord, is that they both have this idea of you join a group, and within those group there are subchats, right? Whereas Telegram is just like all
your
chats.
Slack and Discord has that. Not Telegram.
Sorry, yeah. Slack and Discord. Yeah, sorry, I misspoke. It's like, Slack and Discord have this, you join a channel, and then inside those channels, there's sub-chats, right? Whereas in Telegram, you just have all your chats, and it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? So I don't know. I think I like that because it's just simpler. It's a lot less to manage. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I do understand the segmentation, right? Like, if you're in a general chat with 20 people, and then two people start talking about wrestling, and you're like, I don't want to talk about wrestling. Like, make your own chat. Go into the wrestling room. Have your wrestling conversation. Yeah. I understand the segmentation. I don't know. I get it. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Another thing, like on a sort of different topic, but about Telegram that I really like is, I feel like it's one of the first examples. There's been others. Like, I know Signal is getting pretty nice, but of the sort of like security and privacy software that is becoming pretty and easy to use. So, for a while, like a VPN, private, encrypted messaging, and those types of technologies had very ugly interfaces, very basic, sometimes convoluted, and had menu labels and stuff that were directly related to like the technological term instead of a user-friendly term. So anyway, user experience designer, I think it's really cool to see all these things that are very pro privacy and security that are becoming a lot more user friendly. And because I feel like for a long time, like secure messaging and virtual private networks and stuff had just been the thing of the techno elite or, you know, the developers themselves.
Right.
And
right.
Now, you know, you can easily like be like, hey, it has stickers and GIFs, and they're just jumping on Telegram like you're talking about your friends. I think that's really great.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that is the biggest barrier for a lot of people, right? Is it easy to use? And it's kind of like most people don't care what messaging service they need to use, so long as one, a lot of people that they know are on it, and two, it's easy to use, right? I think that was the selling point to get someone like Kelly, you know, my fiance, onto Telegram was like, is it easy to use? Because the competitor for her was iMessage. Yeah. And I'm like, it's pretty much the same, and in fact, it's easier because of this, 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 and this. And that was like, I honestly think it was stickers that sold her in the first place, but still, it was just having a handful of more features that worked better than iMessage was what sold her. And then, of course, iOS 12 comes out or 11 comes out, and it has stickers and all this other garbage and stuff. But in my mind, I was like, sorry, Apple, too little, too late.
It's funny, this this podcast wasn't necessarily intended to be a tech podcast, but that ended up being where we were going.
Well, this is what we always talk about when we...
I feel like we haven't seen each other in a while. What have you been up to?
Oh, I don't know. I've been... Like, all last week, I was just hanging out with folks that I'd never see.
Yeah.
So, like, I met this woman recently on that Patuk app, and she lives, like, literally 2 blocks from my apartment.
Oh, wow.
So it's super convenient for us to be like, hey, do you want to grab a drink after work? And then we just meet up in the middle, you know, the middle place where there's a bar.
I filled out that profile on Patuk when you told me about it like a year ago, or no, is this spring?
Yeah.
But I was like too afraid to message anybody, so I eventually deleted it.
Yeah, it's a weird app. I find it hard to keep up with it. And honestly, the only reason I met this woman is because, like, she was diligent about chatting on it. So, like, she was chatting me constantly. Mm. Not, like, in, like, a weird way, but she was just, like, she worked. She turns out she's a freelance designer and, or illustrator, I should say. So she was just, like, available. So she's just on her phone, on her devices all the time because she was constantly working. And so it's interesting, but now, you know, we've hung out a couple times. So I hung out with her, it was a friend of a friend's birthday that we went out to Korean barbecue for. And then, I met up with a guy who's helping me redesign the logo for iRead Comic Book. It was like last week was just like crazy.
Wow.
I've been playing Red Dead Redemption.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That game is so good. If you like Grand Theft Auto, you're going to like it. But otherwise, if you're not into that kind of game. Oh, then yeah, you should buy Red Dead Redemption 2, dude. It is like,
yeah.
Oh, you do? I didn't think you bought it.
No, I have it. So much more to talk about. I'm trying to remember the last time. So Josh and I podcasted like November. I think it was like, was it right before Thanksgiving? Is around that time. But but anyway, so I got Red Dead Redemption and I started it, but it kills my PlayStation. Like my fans are blowing up, and to the point where I almost wanted to get a PlayStation Pro because I know it's got a more powerful and it also has 4K. So I've got a 4K TV. And
yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
oh, this
yeah.
is, and I go on YouTube and I do the HD 4K comparisons and of like gameplay and like, oh wow, it's so much more beautiful with the HDR.
Yes,
but I'm like,
yes.
Do I need to spend like $500 on something I already own? So I haven't, but my unique situation is that Mary is always, you know, studying at home, and so I can do stuff while she's studying, but it just kind of has to be quiet and not distracting. And the funny thing with that one game is that you've got the fan just going brrr, and she says that it drives her crazy while she's trying to study.
Oh, so yeah, I can understand that.
I'll play it once in a while if she's spending the night in Philly, because I never know how much I have to explain to the listener. So Mary goes to Philly because that's where her med school is, but it's like an online thing. So we're mostly in Brooklyn, but sometimes she's there. And so anyway, you know, I can, you know, like read or play video games with my headphones on or whatever. But that one game has been hard to play because it just kills my processor. And after Christmas, I also bought myself, as a Christmas present to myself, a Nintendo Switch. And I love the Switch. First of all, it doesn't make any noise. It's teeny tiny.
Yes, it's beautiful. And
I had you guys over for a party. I don't know. I guess it was a
Christmas. That was the last time I saw you. It was Christmas thing.
And you brought over Mario Party game and your controller, so we all got to play Mario Party, mm-hmm. and that was fun. I got like Zelda and Mario Kart, and I've just been playing Nintendo ever since then. Not because I don't like PlayStation, but just like it's also so great that if I need to, like if the TV is distracting her or something, I can just pick it up, boom, carry it over to the couch, plug in my headphones,
walk over to another,
play it that way. Exactly. If I'm addicted to something, like I'm, you know, solving this level on Zelda, I want to keep playing it, I can just bring it with me on my way to work and play it mm-hmm. on my long ass commute. So I love that, and I wish that PlayStation had that. I know they've got like the PS Vita, but that's more
they're discontinuing, I think.
Yeah, and it's more like a Nintendo DS, where it's like it's a separate platform. There are a few games that allow you to play cross-platform, Vita and PS4, but it's not like the Nintendo, where it's literally the same game. It's
right.
So
right.
I do. That's probably my favorite feature of the Nintendo. So I've been playing a lot of that.
Been playing a lot of Super Smash Brothers.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen you online in a couple of weeks, but I've been posting. I didn't really do this that much with PlayStation, but I've been putting out feelers on like Twitter and Facebook because I feel like maybe more people have a Nintendo to add me as a friend. So also, podcast listener, you can add me on Nintendo. They have the worst friending system. It's like a 12-digit code. I'm not gonna fucking read that out to you, but.
We'll post our friend codes in the Telegram group. So if you want to add us, join that group.
Right.
That's the way we'll fix that.
It lends itself very well to online play, like Mario Kart mm-hmm. and Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I've had pretty good experience playing online, except for I've played Smash Brothers with some people from like Australia, and like the lag is terrible. Just because of the physical distance, right?
Yeah.
So like I was playing against the guy, and like I had to counter my moves to try to time with the lag to figure out where his character was going to be. It was a whole mess.
It doesn't do regional.
Long story short, I lost.
Oh, okay. With Mario Kart, you can do worldwide versus regional when you're picking your online play.
Well, this was like I purposefully matched with this guy. Like I was playing with some people from the comic books Discord because that's like the one Discord I actually use is the Reddit comic book subreddits Discord. And so I was in a tournament and I was playing with some guy from Australia.
That's cool.
So it was just, yeah. But yeah, the Switch is super nice.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah, I know that I came to it late. It's not because I didn't want it, but it's because I had the PlayStation first and a finite amount of money, so I wanted to get a bunch of PlayStation games, and I knew I would get the Nintendo eventually, so like a year and a half later from the PlayStation, I got that. So now I've got both, mm-hmm. and I think the PlayStation is also pretty good for online play, because they've got good like chat, like voice and we can't do video chat when you're playing online, but you can do video with Twitch. Which is weird. I kind of wish, at least for two-player games, that you could do the video. Like, have your friend's video in the corner while you're playing a game. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Do you have a camera hooked up to your
Yeah, I have PC? The PlayStation
or
camera.
PlayStation? Oh, okay.
So it's like a two-in-one thing. I use that as my microphone, because...
Oh, right. See, this is... Yeah. I always hear feedback.
Because I plug in my headphones sometimes, or sometimes I don't, and so it's nice to have like a centralized mm-hmm. microphone. What were you saying? But that gives you feedback, I guess, because of
the, oh yeah.
Yeah, I like to have the speakers
I always
loud.
Get feedback from your TV. But
yeah.
Anyways.
Any closing remarks, or this is the part where you can give a shout out to all the things you make, but before you do that, I also want to mention that I love your other podcast, getting caught up. And I don't know if Josh and I specifically talked about this, but that is the inspiration of making this podcast. Like when I listen to those episodes, I'm like live tweeting as I listen. I'm like, oh yeah, Jeff said this. I totally agree with that point of view. I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, I feel this way too. And so then, you know, I was talking to Josh about how like, hey, yeah, so Mike has this like hangout podcast. We should just, you know, podcast also. And so yeah, I recommend people check that out, but go ahead and give your rundown of the things online.
Yeah, so the show that Rob's talking about is called Getting Caught Up, that my friend Jeff Perry and I do, and it's a hangout podcast where we also kind of have a topic that we focus on. The last three episodes have been pretty unfocused because we had some delays in recording just because Jeff's life got really, really busy, so we were literally just catching up talking on the show for two episodes straight. And then the latest episode we did, which should be coming out soon or maybe already came out, I don't know. I never keep track of that stuff. It was a lot of fun. We're trying to get back in the swing of things. And yeah, so that's Getting Caught Up. You can check it out at gettingcaughtup.net. You can also find me on Twitter at Mike Rappin. You can check out my other podcast, I Read Comic Books, where I host and talk about comic books week after week. We just hit our 4-year anniversary this year. So wow. Starting year 5 of the show.
That's a long running.
It's really
podcast.
Exciting. I know believe me, I can't even believe it. I don't know. It's bizarre. But yeah, that's IRCBpodcast.com. You can listen to that. It's a very nerdy, very fun and exciting and lovely show that I do.
Yeah, cool. And this is me and this is all that I do. I mean, I think people who are listening to this podcast probably already know where to find me online, but mostly I'm doing a lot more Twitter lately, so Rob Rogan on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But for all that stuff, you can find info at joshandrob.com or read the show notes, and we'll have links to stuff like that. But yeah.
Cool.
Good to catch up with you. Maybe we'll have you back again, maybe with Josh. We can have a menage a trois or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I was gonna say it seems like you should come on Getting Caught Up now I just need to talk to Jeff and get you on that show.
Sure, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, and I think for our, I'm not sure if it's gonna be our next episode in terms of what we're planning in the future, but I'm gonna have a friend on, Alex Monroe, and he's he lives in Chicago, so he has his chamber music group, a percussion group, and does some really, really cool stuff with that, and just a really interesting guy in general to talk to. He came to visit me for a weekend, and so we caught up, kind of like what we were talking about in the beginning of this show, how don't necessarily talk that frequently, but then, you know, as soon as you see that person, you immediately catch up and you're in sync. And so he says that he's been interested in podcasting. He's never done it before, and he's like, I just want to be on a podcast just to see what it's like. And so like, all right, you can come to ours. So yeah, stay tuned. Maybe the next episode or in a few episodes at least, we'll have Alex on and talk about who knows what. There's no structure to this thing, so hold on. All right, catch everyone later. Bye.
Bye. All right, I'm gonna hit stop.